So namaste and welcome to satsang. And welcome to anyone joining us for the first time today. You're more than welcome. And I wanted to today to do a guided meditation. We've been doing some of them on the Monday satsang, some different types of different ways really of experiencing directly what we actually are. Even if it is just for a few moments at first, it begins to change everything in our pathway, it begins to change everything about us to experience what we actually are, rather than thinking about it. We'll begin to make it more our own experiential truth. And the major benefit of this is it begins to undo the doubt that happens inside of us all. Am I going to be able to do this? Am I good enough to do this? Is it going to happen for me? All of those things that were inside me began to disappear as I began to experience more and more what I really am. So I wanted to really do a guided meditation today, and you're more than welcome to follow along with your eyes open or closed, whichever you prefer. And really just to get in touch with the simplicity that can be a very direct meditation. For myself, the more powerful and direct the meditation is and was when I was waking up, then the more simple it always was. If it's complex, we're going to forget it. We're going to have a really difficult technique to remember. So just wanted to kind of maybe show everyone how to kind of get back in touch with how simple meditation can be. So we're going to be listening to the silence in this meditation. And even if you've done this before with me, I'd urge you just to start as if you haven't heard it before, haven't done it before. And really to have that attitude every time we're in satsang. And really our life is a satsang, isn't it? But while we're here, gathered together like this for the most powerful reason of all, the most important reason of all, let's see if we can come from a fresh space, just as if we don't know anything about silence at all. And I'm going to call the real self silence today in this meditation, but we could call it anything. We call it awareness, stillness, consciousness, presence, self. All of those are really just names for what you actually are. So our meditation can be a really, really simple thing of listening to the silence that is in the background of all of our experience all the time. Because it's there all the time, because it's really, really quiet, and because it's not changing, it's sometimes a little bit difficult to notice at first. So we're just going to practice that, and that is the only thing we're going to do. And during the meditation, your attention is going to wander from that silence back to some thoughts that are happening, or some emotion or some state that's happening in the body, or to a sound outside, and some kind of restlessness or disturbance. Whatever happens in the silence doesn't have to be a distraction from your meditation. We're just going to be recognizing that we can only hear the outside noise. Cars just driven past my house, and I can hear that because it's contrasting against the silence. I can hear the clock ticking because of the silence that's in the background already. You can only hear that sound because of the silence. And you can only hear the noise of thoughts inside your own mind because it's contrasting against this continuous silence that's in the background. So we don't have to get rid of any of that stuff. We don't have to make our mind be quiet to experience meditation. And I say experience meditation because it's not something we're going to be doing. We're just going to really be putting attention on something that isn't changing. And that very simple thing of putting attention on what's real is going to make you begin to experience as if you are that silence, because you really are. If our attention is always habitually going to that which is moving and changing, so the thoughts, the experiences, the emotions, then we're going to feel as if we are someone somewhere with all these thoughts and experiences. We're going to really be in a contracted state. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the reason you're here today is to begin to move into an experiential understanding, a lived experience of what you actually are. So right where you're sitting, it's best not to lay down unless you have some kind of medical issue where you really need to. And if you do, just be careful not to nod off, because our body can start to relax when we meditate. So where, however you're sitting, just nice and comfy, and you don't have to close your eyes. It's entirely up to you. Some people prefer, some people don't want to. And we're just going to start by noticing that when these words I'm speaking now have finished, in the absence of any noise, any words, there is a silence in the background. And when we listen, we can just listen to nothing at all. We can listen to that silence that is here in the space, at first noticeable, contrasting when these words stop. Just listening to the silence, just noticing it's there. Very, very simple thing. And it's important to understand that that silence is not going to feel amazing at first. It probably won't come with peace, love, and joy at first. We're just doing the most important thing here, bringing attention to that silence which is in the background of everything, but maybe has remained unnoticed till now. So we're just going to spend 20 minutes or so, and I'll guide us through it, just to notice the silence. And just changing one habit to another is all we're doing. Changing the habit of always listening to thoughts first, always listening to emotions first, always listening to our experience. And just redirecting attention gently to the silence when we get distracted again. There is something that's constant in the background of our experience. Just a silence, we're calling it today. And it doesn't, you can't see it, you can't touch it, doesn't have any quality, but it's very definitely here. And as you're first learning to do this, sometimes striking a singing bowl or a gong or doing some kind of chant, and then in the absence of that sound, as the sound fades away, the silence becomes more obvious. We don't have to get rid of any sounds. All of that can just be as it is. If there's a sensation in the body, thoughts going, coming and going. If some emotion is moving in the body, some energy, some outer noise, and the tension wanders to it, you can just redirect it to the silence when you notice. Just a very simple thing. We're listening to that silence, listening to nothing in particular. Listening really without any agenda, not trying to get anything. We're not trying to understand the silence either. just to experience it. That when we listen to the silence, we might notice our body begins to relax. But naturally, our body responds differently. If we're listening to silence, it begins to relax. Just to openness or a contentment. And that's not why we're listening, we're just listening because it is what is always here, what's reliable. Noise of thoughts comes and goes, but silence is always there in the background. And as we're listening to silence, quite naturally, attention is going to wander back to listening to thoughts. Doesn't mean we're doing it wrong. We can just notice those thoughts are there in the silence and bring attention back to silence. It's not the goal to keep attention 100% of the time on the silence. Just to bring it back when you notice it's wandered. There's a quiet rest when we listen to silence. Just this quietness in which nothing is really happening. It's simple, simple thing just to listen to the silence. Simple and yet very powerful. The more we listen to silence, the more the silence will become obvious. The more we listen to thoughts and experiences, the more they will become obvious. Just this very simple thing of listening to nothing in particular. Just allowing ourselves to enjoy how it feels to just be changing this habit around to listen to the silence first, to notice the silence first. Whenever sounds arise in that silence, don't need to disturb us. They aren't getting in the way of our meditation. They're only noticeable because the silence is here. And they can serve as pointers back to the silence. And over a little bit of time each day, begin to recognize that the silence is always available to us. Even when our outer world is noisy, even when our mind is noisy. Just this simple thing. Listening to the silence. And then when you notice you're listening to thoughts or to some emotion or sensation, just bring attention back to the silence. It's a very passive thing to do. We're not trying to change anything. Not trying to get rid of anything. Just noticing there is a silence already here, already available to us. And instead of trying to make our mind quiet, we're simply putting attention on that which is already quiet. This is when we begin to experience meditation in its most direct form. And just to to listen to this silence. It'll be a little clearer each day that silence is always available. And then that silence is what we are, that it's constant, unchanging, not trying or reaching or becoming. And from time to time, as we've said, attention will wander to thoughts. We'll find ourselves listening to thoughts. And just bringing listening back to the silence. We can't stop attention wandering. And we don't need to. Just to notice when it does. And when you notice, you just simply bring it back to listening to the silence. We're not fighting with anything. We're not trying to get rid of anything or change anything here. We're not trying to become anything either. Just noticing that which is already here, already stable, already unchanging, already quiet. Allowing the body and mind to enjoy how it feels to listen to the silence. Meditation is just this very simple, simple thing. From time to time, just noticing if your attention has wandered to some phenomena, some sound, some noise, some movement, and bringing it back to the silence. Everybody's attention will wander, and it's perfectly okay. More and more, as we choose the silence with our attention, the more obvious that silence will become. And we may begin to notice it, to listen to it spontaneously during the day, as it becomes clearer that it's always here. When we're listening to thoughts, the silence may seem far away or even absent. And when we're listening to silence, the thoughts may start to seem far away or even absent. Just to listen to the silence is enough to begin to change your whole life. It begins at first as an absence of sound, but then the silence will become something so much more. And again, from time to time, your attention is going to wander back to thoughts, back to nice feelings in the body, back to emotions. Just simply bring attention back to silence. The more we simply bring attention, we're listening to the silence, the better the body and the mind are going to feel, the more relaxed, the more open, light and spacious. Just falling in love with this silence. Every time we listen to silence, we can experience that silence even deeper. We didn't have to do anything in this meditation. We're just choosing what to listen to. There is this silence, which feels like home, which feels like rest. It isn't asking anything of us at all. The more we listen to the silence, the more our body and mind become attuned to it. Just spending a few moments each day, listening to this silence, begin to find this deep place within us, which is already removed from the mind, which is already quiet. It's already peaceful. Doesn't need or want anything. So in a few moments, we will be bringing this formal meditation to a close. And hopefully you can see that we can be listening to the silence, whether our eyes are open or closed, whether our body is moving or seated, whether we're talking, walking. Just a simple choice to listen to that stillness, that silence itself. Kind of begins to bring it to the foreground of our experience. It becomes more and more obvious. So, whenever you're ready, if you want to, you can open your eyes if they were closed. And if you don't want to, that's okay. All we're doing in meditation is just beginning to see that there is something constant here all the time, not really perceivable with our senses, not really accessible in the traditional way. Once we know how to find it, everything begins to change then. The truth that we're reading about in books and hearing about in satsangs begins to become a real lived thing inside us, begins to be experienced as our truth. And most importantly, it gets harder and harder to doubt, although mind will try, that it's not going to happen for us. Because we're experiencing it right now. And just the simple thing of recognizing, listening to silence is going to allow us to access it more and more frequently, more often, much more easily. Just a skill we're learning, a new habit. And that it's possible for a human being to be effortlessly aware of the silence all the time, just by changing this one habit. And we didn't do it through a lot of hard work. We just noticed when attention had wandered, and then we brought it back to the silence. That simple thing done consistently, a little bit each day, is going to begin to shift everything in your life. And whatever thoughts and emotions need to be released, whatever tensions in the body, all of that is going to happen much easier from this recognition, from this silent place inside. Much more easy to do that. I hope you enjoyed that guided meditation. There are other guided meditations on a YouTube channel. If you just search Satsang with Helen Hamilton on YouTube, there's a playlist on there of guided self-inquiry and meditations. This one will be added to it later. And just practicing this really kind of relaxed, simple, effortless way. So I'm going to open it up for questions in a moment. And if you want to ask a question, you're more than welcome to do so, to share your experience of the meditation or anything else you would like to ask about awakening. I do have a couple of emailed questions I'm going to read first. If you would like to ask a question, especially if you're new to Zoom, just click on participants at the bottom of your screen. And if you scroll down to the bottom of that participant section, there's an option there to raise your hand. So let me know that you want to share something or ask. So we'll go to the emailed questions that I have, which are very relevant to today's satsang, actually. The first one says, I found your meditation this morning on tuning into the spacious field to be a direct experience of the stillness that I've been trying to contact. Thank you for the powerful pointer. However, my mind is making it a bit more complicated, as it tends to do, right? Mind does that. Mind is making it a bit more complicated and has a question. How do I conceive of this field in relation to the objects in the room? Does it permeate the objects, or do I only focus on the space itself and ignore the objects? So this was a meditation very similar to this, where we just began to notice the space around the objects in the room, that there is always space present, something formless. And we can ask the same question in relation to the silence as well. What do I do with the sounds? Do I notice or ignore, try to ignore the sounds or the thoughts? So the question is, how do I conceive of this field in relation to the objects in the room? Does it permeate the objects, or do I only focus on the space itself and ignore the objects? Well, we can say here that mind is asking a really intelligent question. It's asking for kind of clarification on the process itself and the meditation itself. And I'd recommend for the actual time that you're meditating to only try to listen, to notice that spacious field. Today we've called it silence. And just to notice when attention's wandered away from that field and bring it back. And it's naturally going to happen that we become curious about how the field interacts with the phenomena that we see arising, thoughts and emotions and solid objects, even in the room that we're sitting in, even our own body. So it's good that curiosity is arising. You know, what is this field? Where does it reach? How far does it go? Is it inside the objects that are here? And those are great questions to really explore and contemplate outside of our meditation. And they'll really begin to help you understand the field a bit more and to come to see that you are that field. You are that silence, as we're calling it here now. So during your meditation, you kind of try to resist this temptation to want to think about, to want to explore what the field is, what the silence is, because by doing that, attention is going back to thoughts. And this is a sneaky, sneaky way that mind will try to distract us. It will say, wow, this silence is really nice, and I accessed it much easier today than last time, and I'm feeling so much better than before. We realize we're off and attention is wandering to thoughts in our meditation. And that's going to happen to a certain extent. We can just bring in, just noticing that that's going to happen. We can guard against this. And then outside of your formal meditation, it's absolutely fine to begin to inquire, to look at where is this field? What is it? How does it interact with these objects? And of course, I could tell you that, but really, the joy is going to come from figuring this out from the inside out, from your own experiential seeing. And you might begin to, just by becoming curious about the field, you might begin to discover some quite amazing things. And just really what those objects are that seem to be appearing in the field begin to reveal itself from the inside out, so that it becomes a joy to have this. If we try to figure it out in meditation, then our attention is wandering back to thoughts again. So have fun, explore, but do it outside of your meditation. Mind asking intelligent questions is not an issue at all. It's a good thing. If it's becoming curious about what the self really is, that's a good thing. It's better than these habitual, repetitive thoughts that, you know, I'm not good enough for, I'm never going to reach the self. All of those. So a very, very good question. The second one is, it says, excuse me. When becoming aware of silence, the silence seems to become a felt hum or vibration in the head area, as if a bell has been donged and thoughts become absorbed into it and disappear. Sometimes the hum is very intense and it feels like there is a pressure in the ear and head area. I'd like to know if the silence and hum are one and the same thing, and if it is okay to let my focus be on this hum. Also, when doing a different practice, such as being aware of awareness, this doesn't happen. What do you think this means? So when this person's listening to silence, there's this vibration, there's this kind of thing happening inside the head, some kind of hum or vibration. So it's important to recognize that they're not the same, actually. The silence isn't a phenomena. It isn't something that's coming and going. And the vibration, the hum, as you said, when you're aware of awareness, which is another same type of meditation that we do, this hum doesn't happen. So it's probably a sign that your body is responding to this. Is perhaps one of the ways you can more easily access the real self as silence rather than awareness. However, if we want to wake up fastest, we try to keep attention on that which is not coming and going. And even this very subtle vibration or hum, this feeling in the head, is not there all the time. So it must be a phenomenon. It must be coming and going. You can think of it as the silence doesn't have any, it doesn't feel like anything, does it? It doesn't even sound like anything. It doesn't have any taste. Can't touch it. You can't see it because it's invisible. It's formless. But when we listen to that silence, it will have an effect upon the body. And one of those is that energy will begin to get freed up. Perhaps a lot of energy has been invested for us in looking at thoughts and then experiencing those thoughts as real. And then really feeling like we're having to try to get away from all of that. So when we start to listen to that silence, there is a freeing up and opening up for most of us in the body. Some trapped emotions may come up. Some tensions in the body may become noticeable. And all of those are just going to move as they need to move. So just to keep attention on the silence, which is always here, and to recognize there's nothing wrong with this vibration. It's energy moving, and the body is energy, and you know, everything begins to move again in that openness of listening to silence. But just to keep attention on what is constant, and the silence isn't a phenomena. It's not an object. It's not changing. It's not becoming anything. It's not moving. All of that. So enjoy the feeling if you want to, but you'll notice if you don't put attention on that and you keep attention on the silence, it won't build into this intense pressure so much. It will just be something that's moving and rearranging. All of us have been trained to put attention on thoughts only as we're waking up through life in general. And what's the result of that is we experience those thoughts. You know, this idea that I'm a separate being, I am this body, and we begin to experience that, a contracted state with negative emotions, with suffering, all of that. And as we begin to put attention on what is real, what is constant and stable about us, then the body will begin to reflect the effects of that openness, that silence isn't searching or seeking for anything, and it isn't needing anything at all, and we'll begin to experience that opening, that relaxation, that undoing of suppression that we somehow think is the natural state, but it's just how we've been taught to function in the world. So as you start to put attention on the silence, you might notice these energetic phenomena happening in the body, and they're absolutely fine. They're just everything kind of rearranging itself, sorting itself back out, now that it can do that in the openness of your listening. When we listen to thoughts, we have to experience those thoughts. When we listen to silence, we experience that silence more and more in the body too. So it doesn't have any feeling itself, the silence. It's not graspable at all in that way. But it will produce an effect upon the body. And that it's important to know the difference. Again, it's a really, really intelligent question and really good to be clear on. Okay, so if anyone wants to ask a question or share your experience, please use the raise hand option in the participants section if you'd like to. And maybe we'll just sit in silence a few more moments if you want to, if there aren't any questions. Just noticing again that that silence is still here. Even with the words spoken, maybe even with your eyes open now, can you still hear it now? Okay, we'll go. Sophie has a question. Whenever you're ready, Sophie.
Thank you. Again. Good morning.
Namaste. Hey, how are you doing?
Okay. It was really helpful, the last two emails, especially about the body, how the body releases when you relax into the silence, and not getting kind of drawn into the phenomena. My question is about kind of having an attitude of gentleness, which I sometimes kind of know that that is a good thing. it's not a natural occurring state. There's still that struggle. So is it something you can actually develop as an attitude within the meditation of softening gentleness, or will that just come as a result of the practice?
Yeah, it's the more attention you put on what is real, the more you begin to live like that. And silence is inherently, whether they were calling it a silence or awareness or the field or the self or love, it's inherently kind of extraordinarily powerful and yet gentle. Sometimes it can be very direct, very blunt, to the point. Sometimes it will be deeply, deeply curious, you know, so it's kind of it will show itself in different ways. There's a gentleness about the silence in that it isn't trying to change anything. And that's perhaps what you're sort of touching upon in experiencing, that even if the mind is raging and some emotion is surging, it's not trying to manipulate that or change it in any way, is it, the silence? It's just completely allowing this moment to be however it is, however the body is, it lets it be that way, however the mind is. There's a gentleness in that way. For myself, I found that this gentleness was also kind of a very subtle fear, a little, you know, timidity or something like that, and that began to disappear, so that I could be assertive and direct when I needed to, which I couldn't, you know, wasn't able to before. Really, sort of becoming this. Even the word becoming the silence, living as the silence. So the best advice would be to kind of notice it has its ways of being. It can show up as that gentleness, but sometimes it can be quite assertive as well, you know, and it might appear to be different. The way that it moves the body, you know, might feel different each time. It might be, I just want to close my eyes and be quiet. And then a few hours later, I really want to go out and meet some people, and I really want to just have some fun and, you know, just get right into the nitty-gritty of my humanness. And then other times it might be deeply, deeply curious as to what silence is, and it'll have all of these kind of moods about it. The gentleness is really, I think it's really that it cannot change anything. It doesn't need to change anything. It's kind of very, very loving in that way, isn't it? Silence. Does that help? Or?
Yeah, yes, it does. Because otherwise you kind of get into some kind of prescriptive kind of therapeutic thing that, you know, there's a need to be gentle within every experience. And
yeah,
sometimes that's just not present. Well, often it's not there. And then you kind of, it becomes a something that you feel, you know, you're lacking.
You're trying to be like that then, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, to try and like be kind to yourself when things are particularly difficult or whatever.
Because you can spend a lifetime being, trying to be more compassionate, trying to be more loving, trying to be more quiet even. But all those things will develop naturally as a kind of a side effect of being, consciously being that silence, but starting by just listening to it and then sort of deepening from there, recognizing it's always here. It's the most permanent thing about me. It must be, you know, what I really am. And then your mind and body will begin to reflect those qualities that we're trying to develop anyway.
Yeah, that
being more loving in any moment might not sort of come out as there, you know, I hope you feel better soon. It might be something more direct if that's what's needed, you know. So even that, we can't really say what that's going to look like, you know, but it will always be appropriate for whatever is happening.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, and I'm very aware that it takes those often very direct form and can appear in all kinds of ways that, you know, the mind might not see as, you know.
I kind of I hit a little barrier along the way for myself that you know, mine said, well, you're spending so much time listening to silence and you're not really trying to become more loving or any of those things. And those seem like really good things to want, you know, really noble qualities to try to develop. But I began to see I can either let those come on their own, you know, spontaneously, or, you know, try to get them, you know, as a separate being. And one is just effortless way and one is a lot of hard work, because to say I need to be more loving is seems like a good idea, or more compassionate, or whatever we're trying to develop. But it's a statement of the fact we're not already so, already that, you know. So we'll go around in a loop trying to be more loving or kind or courteous, or, you know. So it's kind of, we're not saying, okay, those things aren't important, but we're just going to the most direct source of them. You know, and I just be that silence, be with it, you know, just notice it, become curious about it. Those things will happen anyway on their own.
Yes, thank you. It's, you know, not that I do any kind of meta practice, but there is a whole tradition of cultivating that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but I appreciate what you're saying. And it's a bit like, well, it's totally only through the experience of direct living that then the question will become redundant, really, because you become the living.
There's nothing wrong with those practices that are trying to develop those things, and they're effective until they're not, until the most direct way is just to be this. And then those qualities we've been seeking just begin to emerge anyway, as a reflection of that, you know. Silence is ultimately loving, isn't it? If it's more loving in any moment to allow an emotion than to suppress it, you know, and that will begin to just become your way of being, you know, spontaneously, whatever that is in the moment, as you're seeing, as you're experiencing, that's happening more, you know, as you deepen in your seeing, your practice.
Yeah, sorry, I'm nearly there.
It's okay.
Like now I'm just being taught in this exchange, you know, tears are coming, and that's just the what you just said, the arising of the emotional as a silence, really. But then it's my response to that is where the kind of shift of habit is, because. Yeah.
I just found I was asking more and more often, what would the silence do about this? Or what would awareness, how would awareness handle this? Or how would love, what would love do here? Or something like that, you know? And it was always some movement more towards authenticity and spontaneity. And what that looks like in the moment, we can't sort of foretell, which, you know, human minds don't like that. You want to know what it will be like. But there's the freedom that we're really looking for is that in itself, isn't it? That authenticity and spontaneity. And if I'm crying, I'm crying. If I'm happy, I'm happy. If I'm angry, I'm angry. And I'm not going to try to be anything other than those things in this moment. And silence inherently, it can't manipulate anything. You know, can't try to control our experience or it's unable to suppress anything. It will just let whatever needs to come. And that's why they do, of course, emotions and things like that.
And there's that inherent vulnerability with that, which I'm feeling now. You know,
quite uncomfortable at first, isn't it? Oh my goodness, silence can't suppress anything. You know.
Yeah, it's not at first. It's at second and third.
Our fourth or fifth. We've been raised to believe that vulnerability, openness is not safe. You know, spontaneity, you know, spontaneously just bursting into tears or laughter or something like that is, to a large extent, inappropriate or something like that. But the more I went with that, the more I trusted that if I did have tears or some really intense emotion, it just happened to be in the, you know, privacy of my own home, or, you know, sometimes coming out of the supermarket and almost made it back to the car and I can just feel this emotion surging up, and I just sat in the car for a few minutes before I tried to drive anywhere. And the more we battle with that, not allowing that spontaneity, the more it will come out wherever we are. You know, if we can trust the process, then it will, and just give ourselves a little bit of time. You know, even if you, you're somewhere and you go, I'm just going to nip to the bathroom for 5 minutes, and you just give yourself 5 minutes to feel what you're feeling, you can do that, can't you? It's not, and the more you trust the process, the more it will come out at the moments where it's easier for you if there's something to come up, some emotion like that. And you can feel that hopefully you're getting more comfortable at first with that openness. You know, and then it is uncomfortable and unusual at first, and we just kind of have to, okay, we'll be to wake up is to be authentic, isn't it? Whatever I am in this moment, I will be, and I'll be that because it's what I am rather than what I think I should be. That there's a truth in, if there's a sadness coming up right now, that's what I feel right now, isn't it? And I'm not going to say it shouldn't be. I don't have to like it, but I'm also not going to say it shouldn't be. So some feeling like that. And there was just for myself more and more of an urge to honour that. Whatever I am in this moment is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And then that's kind of the embracing that comes with that trust. You know, it's really okay if someone cries in public, isn't it? You know, it's really okay if we feel some negative emotion. It's really okay. And it's... just turning around some, we've all got these sort of social, you know, ideas of what's appropriate socially and traditions and all of that.
Yeah, it's totally okay and authentic. It's just that the kind of slight confusion comes with then if you act on it with others. So if great anger comes with the story of somebody's done something and then you go and like completely release it in that way. I mean, not... you know, how it then, but then again, that is, there is an, sometimes that's appropriate and ascent, you know, there's a clearing that takes place. So there's no like way, there's no like doctrine of how to be, is there? It's just you know, how life unfolds in that moment. And but there is more kind of with that more, what I feel is with that more acceptance of the authentic, what's arising, you know, just then there's not that need to necessarily kind of engage in it in the same drama, perhaps, that, definitely. I don't know, maybe not, maybe you still have to go and rant and rave, you know, I don't know.
I just stopped even trying to decide that. Try to be that silence. Like if there's intense anger arising, okay, what does silence do with this? How would it respond to it? And sometimes just to ask that question, the anger would become quite intense, but then it would leave. Sometimes it would get quite intense and there'd be this real sense, I have to go speak to this person, but it felt authentic to do that. And it came from a loving, if direct place. You know, perhaps someone has treated you in a way that, you know, you would like to be treated differently. And from that silence, the anger kind of moved me to say something finally. Actually, you know, please don't treat me that way, or something like, but it was a loving thing for me. And it was from that, the silence just kind of moves the body that way, rather than trying to decide, should I speak to someone about this, or should I do something about this, or should I just feel it? That which is it question disappears. Quite often it's both or neither, you know, just, you don't even have to decide, you know, just allow what wants to happen with this emotion that's arising. And the more you just focus on the emotion itself, if any action needs to be taken, it will become obvious and clear, and it will feel right, and it won't be kind of a knee-jerk response from that place, you know, to, you know, which we've all done. We've all kind of lashed out in anger, and you know, two seconds later we thought, well, oof, that didn't turn out too well. But the spontaneous appropriate action that comes from being the silence in that moment, when even when there's anger arising, is always helpful for everyone involved. Doesn't mean everyone will like it, but it's helpful.
Lovely, thank you so much. Thank you
for your time. You're welcome. Okay, Ian and Maggie. Or Maggie.
I just wanted to share what happened in the meditation. Normally, to do a meditation, it'd be a pleasant surprise. But we've got workmen in, and my daughter was due to go out, and so I started meditating, and there was this kind of tsunami of, well, what if they come back because they'd gone out? What if they come back now? And what if they need us? And what if she can't get out because their car's in the way? And there was all this. And I just sat in it, and I could feel myself going deeper, and this mind stuff kept jumping up and down in front of me. And then I just recognised something I've been working on. But I recognised that the true self is all of it. And that, like, as you know, Helen, I've been working on this, that I'm not just within this body. I just recognise that it was all one, and that they are me and I am them, and that it couldn't go wrong. Then there was a momentary thought that popped up, oh, you can sort this. And then, of course, it all kind of started again. And it was just a huge deepening of knowing that self's just in all of it, and that there wasn't anything to resolve, and it was all perfect. And funnily enough, it all worked out perfectly in the meditation. To share it, it's like a very, very noisy meditation in the beginning. I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then it just, yeah, it was a lovely seeing. So
those are the most useful ones, aren't they? The ones where your mind's like really going for it. You know, and when you start off with that thought, oh, I'm never going to hear the silence now. It's just like, I'm never going to get deep. And there were those ones for me at first as well. And I just began to say, okay, well, this doesn't necessarily really have to disrupt my meditation. And even with all those thoughts there, if I just relax into it, I know the silence must be here. I can hear it. And then, you know, you never kind of sort of get a conclusion with the mind, do you? It just becomes less and less. in the way of the meditation, so to speak.
Yeah, it was quite amusing to kind of watch in a way, because I was going so deep, and it was like there was this thing jumping up and down, and it was like, you know, like Zebedee on a spring jumping up and down in front of me, and trying to distract. And then I just completely saw that it's all one, and none of it could be disturbed. And yeah. And you know,
well, you do it with workmen in your house and people coming and going, you can do it anywhere.
Plus the dog.
And the dog too. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was. Yeah, it was quite interesting. So thank you for doing the meditation.
Direct applied meditation, right there.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. It was. It was good. It was lovely, actually. I don't. I don't sit and meditate very often, specifically. So it was very nice. Very, very nice.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Lovely. Okay. We'll leave it there for today. Thanks for those that shared. And namaste.